Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, D-Gens, it is Thursday, December 18th. I'm Mad Max. Joining me, the one and only Six Panther. I feel like we've forgotten to do something over the last couple of months. It's kind of escaped me. There's something we were supposed to do maybe weekly for the last few months, and I can't remember. Can you remember what we were supposed to be doing?
You know, we've even had gentle reminders. The guys, loyal, to a fault. Thank you guys so much for your love and support. Been clamoring for a show for months. I was kind of curious to how this would go, if we would remember the intro. I'm sitting here thinking through my head. I was like, what the fuck is my outro? I don't even know if I know how to do it. This is going to be fun because, the guys, nobody's listening live, so it'll be recorded, and you guys listen to it whenever. But Max and I have not talked. We've maybe had sentences back and forth a couple times. So this is, if there's such a thing as just jumping on a bike and, knowing how to ride, we'll see if that's the case, because we're just picking up where we left off, and we'll see how this goes, Max.
Oh, I'm sure it's fine. Think about a lot of people, in your life. I can think of people that I rarely have conversations with, and if I was in the room with them, it would just pick up like I was just talking the other day. Like, when there's familiarity, we did a show. We've been technically doing a show for,
8 years? Seven, eight years.
It's probably about going on 8 years. So, I was wondering if you... we would get another show this year. I wasn't quite sure. It's just, there's a lot going on, and I know that there's a lot going on in your life with the new job you're doing. I started a new job earlier this year as well, which doesn't give me time in the mornings, a lot more time in the afternoons, but that's not the best for you. So it's just it was this tug of war of wow, man, the stars were not aligning to do a show, but you pinged. It's so funny. I've been getting a lot of spam phone calls, and so I saw this. My instinct was to just decline, and then I saw Fort Wayne. I'm like, oh, that was probably Panther. and then I went right over to Discord to check the messages in Discord, and then certainly enough, you start texting me. He's like, hey, it's Panther. I was like, yeah, it was just instinct. That was just a number that just isn't in my phone, and it was just Did you change your number? You have a new number? Is that it? I thought you were in my phone.
It's been the same number. Last time I tried calling you, I got the reject button because I wasn't. The same number for 20 years.
Then apparently there's someone else that's in my phone listed as you.
Sometimes if you don't have the one, either with or without the phone number, that throws it off.
Oh, man.
You have the one in front of the area code, but that just goes to show you, D-Gens, Max and I don't talk. We talk more on Discord, by a lot, than we've ever talked on the phone.
Yeah, no, it's funny too. It's like the year we finally meet in person, and then she's like, "All right, let's." That was enough. We've had enough of each other.
It's dead.
Oh man, so much to talk about. Like, so you sent me kind of a laundry list, and we can kind of run through these things. So, of course, like it's Thursday night. So for me, really important for many reasons. One, the Rams are in. It's not like a must win, do or die situation, but a very important divisional game. The Rams are having a fantastic season. I don't think if you get into the Wayback Machine, I think we like the Rams, right? If I recall us saying, it's like, man, the Rams look, I didn't think they were going to be this good. You know, their offense is clicking, their defense is really good. But so, you know, they've already clinched a playoff spot, but this is you know, trying to win the division and going against the Seahawks. It's a big game for them. But also for my fantasy football team, because I'm in the playoffs for my fantasy team. And, of course, I've got Matt Stafford. I've got Puka Nacua. I have Devontae Adams, but he's on the bench. So, you know, like a lot of key players playing for me today to try to, like, set the tone for my playoff game this week. So, big Thursday night football game, you know, entertaining one so far. Defenses kind of showing up a little bit more than the offenses, but you know, good game so far. But yeah, we're so far into the NFL season, so we got that to talk about. We got college football, man. Like, I got to hear your thoughts on Notre Dame. So we're going to get to that and the playoffs and what you think, who's going to win and all that. Let's start off though with some WWE though, because John Cena had his final match last Saturday, and some, I won't say controversy around it. It's not controversy, just a lot of mixed feelings. And then if you happen to catch any of the post show, those fans were really giving it to Triple H. Like, they were not happy with how everything played out. They had this big tournament that was leading up to it. Some people thought it's like, maybe this is LA Knight's time, and no, they just wrote him off TV for a while so he can take a vacation. It was Gunther that gets the final match, and he makes John Cena tap out to end his career. I don't know, some people find it poetic. I found it kind of disappointing. How about you? What's your take on this whole thing?
You know, I found it disappointing. The guy that you can't champion, never quit. Quit at the end, like that. There was almost like that was the message. Like, this is it. The conspiracy theories that, oh, The Rock is going to make an appearance, or he's going to do something for WrestleMania. I think the way it ended was this was the end. And I get where the fans beat up on Triple H or don't like the ending, but I was talking to my brother about it, and he's like, you know, John Cena gets a lot of say on how his matches go. And he would not tap out if he wasn't okay with that being the ending. So, you know, you kind of wonder where they were going. Gunther took out Goldberg. Now Gunther's taking out Cena. And then after Monday Night Raw, they're almost serving it up that Gunther's going to take out AJ Styles. Like, Gunther's
and
becoming R-Truth. The guy that he's going to retire the Hall
Lesnar.
Of Fame.
Yeah, right.
That exactly. Would be tragic, honestly.
Oh, well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Like, Lesnar's going to retire probably at a SummerSlam in Minnesota next year. And it's probably going to be Gunther that does it. Gunther's probably going to retire R-Truth this year. He's probably going to retire AJ Styles. Yeah, they're going to make him the true legend killer as opposed to Randy Orton. So, I mean, listen, again, you know, disappointing, mixed feelings on it. I get the poetic nature of it. This is him going out saying, I don't have it anymore. I give up. Like, it just seems so off-brand, off-character. And that's, I get I get what they were trying to do there. It just fell flat because it was just so off-brand. And if you think about how Sting ended his career, winning tag team titles and confetti and, like, celebration, that's what it should have been. If I'm paying money to go there live to see John Cena's last match, I want to see him win. Again, I'm not a writer for the WWE, but if I were going to do it this way, I would have had his last match been against Dominic Mysterio and him win the title then. They just kind of sped that up where it was just like, it's like, oh, John Cena's going to win the Triple Crown or whatever, the Grand Slam, right? He's going to win the Grand Slam, and then he's going to lose the Dom in San Diego. I would have had Dom versus Rey in San Diego, and I would have saved the Dominic Mysterio losing the title to John Cena. John Cena goes out on top with the Intercontinental belt. Then he lets the belt go, and you have a tournament to win the Intercontinental title back. And then that makes it more intriguing. So he goes out on top. He wins the Grand Slam, something that he'd never done before. You'd have that doubt of if he was going to do it. Dom's still protected because, you know, he's a star. He's going to be the future. And everyone's, you know, it still is him going out on his own terms. But, like, you know, their whole thing is, like, we didn't want any ambiguity about it. Him tapping out was him saying that this is over. It's like, shit. He says it's over because he's getting paid fucking millions and millions of dollars to do Hollywood movies. That's what says it's over.
Oh, no, absolutely. And that's, but you look at over the last year when he announced he was going to retire, for, you know, the going heel, you know, back to face, winning two titles in the meantime, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're tapping out to Gunther. You're right. It fell off character. I got to be honest. I'm not sure what Triple H and the whole creative team is doing with the guys. It seems to be a chaotic mess. They're being saved by the women. The women are just like the face of WWE right now. The guys is just a frustrating hodgepodge of what are we doing? And this just kind of added to the mess, I think.
Yeah, injuries haven't been helping. You know, Seth Rollins being out is just, that's been a huge blow to the storyline, what they're trying to do. You know, Cody missed some time because he was filming a Street Fighter. You know, you got fucking CM Punk and Roman Reigns as the Z-Bros together. You know, I mean, it's tough. It's tough for them to plan with the injuries and the part-timers that they have. And, you know, and navigating around the John Cena retirement and everything. So, but yeah, the women's storylines are all good. You know, Jade Cargill has a really solid villain storyline right now. Gave Tiff some time to take off. They've brought some up-and-comers from NXT, like Lash Legend with Nia Jax. Looks like a fun pairing right now, that women's tag team division heating up. I mean, the partnership with Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss this year has been sensational. Like, none of us saw that going the way that it did and being as fun as it was. So I think you're right. I think the women's, oh, and then of course, like, Rhea and Io, and you got you know, what's going on with Bayley, and it's just, there's so many intriguing, this is actually too many, I feel like.
Yeah.
So,
and then so, and then the return of Liv Morgan.
Oh, huge. Liv, huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the women are fun to watch.
Yeah, well, lots of stuff there. All right, let's talk some college football. So kind of following along in the Discord, and you know, I saw you post something on Facebook, and I was letting you grieve, I was letting you mourn, I kind of disagreed with you. You know, you're kind of salty, saying you got to win the games. Like, they lost their first, what, the first two, and then that was it? That was their season?
Like, well, it was season, because they're only two opponents they really had.
I know. But it's just like, you lose those two, and then you run the gamut. You don't make the playoffs. It just seems off, man. It's I get, like, they're almost being penalized because they're not in a conference, it seems. You know, it seems like they're being unfairly considered because of that. And even one of their losses, or both their losses, were really close ones, right? It wasn't like they outright, like, lost and like, got their asses kicked. So, man, it rubbed me the wrong way. I know you were salty about it, but do you think it was the right decision?
No, it was not the right decision. And I think almost from a political front, it was like blatant corruption and collusion without, like, the bold-faced lies that this committee and the chairman and, like, you guys are so full of shit. It absolutely was a big fuck you to Notre Dame and their independent status. The problem is, last year, Notre Dame got in, and they aren't part of a conference, so they get all the money. So they go to a bowl game, and they beat Indiana. Home game, they beat Indiana. Then bowl game, they beat Penn State. Then bowl game, they beat Georgia. Then championship, they lose to Ohio State. They got all that money. And the other commissioners of the conferences are like, you know, we're about sick of this shit. Notre Dame gets to keep all that money. They don't split it with anybody. We're going to make an example of them. Them being behind, or excuse me, being ahead of Miami the whole time was dumb. It was dumb the whole time. But then for them to flip, they had them ahead of Miami the entire time. And then when neither one of them play, we inexplicably flip them. That stunk. Alabama getting their ass handed to them by Georgia, lost two of their last four, barely beat Auburn, and didn't drop below Notre Dame. That stunk. I didn't have a problem with Miami being ahead of Notre Dame. They should have been the whole time. They beat them head-to-head. That should matter. Alabama's not good. And I think maybe they're getting them in, letting Alabama stay in the playoffs, let Kellen DeBoer keep his job, because I think he might have been out of job. He might be out of job anyway. He might be on his way to that dumpster fire up in Ann Arbor. But, yeah, what they did to Notre Dame, it wasn't that Notre Dame's out. It's how they were out. It was how they manipulated the process that everybody's taken exception to. It was an absolute shit show. And I'm here to tell you, if you haven't looked at Notre Dame's schedule next year, it's easier than this year's. They're going to go 12-0, and they're going to have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to make an absolute example out of everybody they play. I guarantee it.
Yeah, you mentioned it too, by the way. You know, no ex Chris here for you to kick him while he's down. Whew, that turned into something in the Wolverines world. That storyline played out kind of crazy. But to your point, yeah, listen, I think Notre Dame should have made the playoffs. I think that, you know, especially Alabama just got in by name brand recognition, trying to, you know, appease the fucking SEC gods over there. But it's bullshit. Anyway, we do have the playoffs that, by the way, there's a bowl game on tonight. Did you know there's a bowl game on tonight?
Yeah, I don't think it was a very consequential.
The Xbox Bowl. It's the Xbox Bowl between Missouri State and Arkansas State. So that's on right now on ESPN The Ocho. No, it's actually ESPN2, but still, it's on right now. It's 14-7, if you're wondering, as we're recording. Arkansas State winning with about 14 minutes left in the second half, second quarter. Anyway, let's look at the college football playoff bracket. So you have number 12, James Madison against number 5, Oregon. And then they'll face, the winner of that will face Texas Tech, who is the 4 seed on a bye. Again, aforementioned number 9, Alabama, taking on number 8, Oklahoma. Winner of that will take on number 1 seed, Indiana. 11, Tulane, and 6, Ole Miss. Winner of that takes on number 3, Georgia. The aforementioned number 10, Miami, taking on 7, Texas A&M. And the winner of that goes against Ohio State. So those are the playoff teams. Yeah, what are your thoughts about, you know, who's anyone you like on this? Do you think Indiana has a shot of winning it all? Like you know, what's your overall thoughts on the playoffs?
Yeah, I think, you know, so Alabama, Oklahoma kickoff. It's right here. They play tomorrow night. Like, the playoffs are here. So this weekend, you get the first round. There's this, you know, theory, rumor that there's a couple of games that are going to be blowouts. JMU and Oregon is going to be a blowout. I couldn't disagree more. I think Oregon's one of the most overrated teams in the country. And James Madison, mind you, is where Kurt Cignetti, the Indiana head coach, came from. That is a very, very good program. They've been a good program for the last few years. I don't really think they win, but the idea that they're 3 touchdown dogs, kind of got a problem with that. Alabama, Oklahoma probably will be a good game. I don't think much of either one of them, probably a low scoring game. But yeah, I would have said I like Ole Miss, but Lane Kiffin leaving kind of makes me wonder what kind of chemistry they still have. If some of the players are leaving, some of the coaches granted permission to come back and participate in the playoffs, Lane Kiffin not being one of them. But some of the assistants that went with him to LSU are coming back to Ole Miss to coach them through the playoffs. But I like Ole Miss. I like Texas Tech. I like Texas Tech a lot. And I don't know how you can not like Indiana. Like, for the people that just, oh, they're a flash in the pan. No, this team is good. Kirk, Google me, Cignetti is the real deal. And he's done what I think really people would have considered the impossible. He's turned Indiana into a destination. Now nil players, transfers, five-star recruits are eyeballing IU. That's a game changer. That is what, as a head coach, you try to do at insignificant schools, teams, you know, programs that have never gotten off the ground. Indiana is not a flash in the pan. They're the real deal, and I think they're going to be around for a long time.
Yeah, looking at the bracket, I mean, it seems like you're going to have, you know, the Final Four being just the four. And so it's like, oh, yay, playoffs. I think that the one that gives me the most question is that bottom bracket, Miami, Texas A&M going against Ohio State. And again, Ohio State, we know who they are. You know, number two seed, great team. You know, they're championship caliber. But it feels like one of those two teams, out of everyone else, I'm not saying it's going to happen, out of everyone else has the best, I feel, percentage of upsetting and being represented, you know, in that final kind of four. Because you're right. I don't see James Madison or Oregon, you know, taking down Texas Tech. Don't see Alabama or Oklahoma taking down Indiana. I think Indiana's too good. I don't think Tulane or Ole Miss takes down Georgia. But you say Miami or Texas A&M to upset Ohio State. I think that's your only chance to see an upset. If not, you're getting the top four seeds. You know, that's what you're getting.
Yeah. You would think so. I mean, the top four seeds all struggled last year, the teams with the bye weeks. But, you know, the other thing I want to point out real quick, I just find it incredibly ironic that the two teams that beat Notre Dame, they put head-to-head to make sure.
That's so fucking funny.
In my view, they wanted to make sure they both didn't lose in the first round. At least one of them advances.
Any preliminary thoughts? Who do you think wins it all? Do you think it's Indiana?
You know, from a betting perspective, I think I like the value of Texas Tech. I think I'm on Texas Tech.
All right.
But, otherwise, I think you're looking at the Big Ten, Indiana or Ohio State. People are clamoring for a rematch. That was a great Big Ten championship. I wouldn't mind them running it back.
Well, we'll try to do a show before a month from now, and we'll get your pick the championship game.
Right.
NFL, yeah, the season's kind of flown by. So twofold. Let's just look at the NFL season as a whole so far. Get your take on that. And then old school. We'll do a firing squad round. Just go through each game. Pick the winners. I haven't done that in a while, so we'll do that. But let's just look at the season as a whole. Right now, if we're looking at the AFC East, we all saw the New England Patriots being 11-3 and leading that division. We all picked that to happen. Now, ironically, we both have like Drake May. So to be fair, get back in the way, way back machine. And I thought Drake May was the best quarterback that was being selected, you know, in
check,
that draft
check
class.
Mark, you know. Check mark us. We got
I'm
that
just
one
saying,
right.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, and New England, of course, you know, that's their dynasty is dead. Oh, wait, hold my beer. Here you go. So they're, you know, they're kind of in a lockstep with Buffalo. Buffalo 10-4. They got that big win last week. So they're, you know, New England could have clinched the division there. But you got New England, Buffalo. You got Miami. They're a complete clusterfuck. Rumor has it that Tua is about to be benched. The Jets might have been one of our biggest whiffs, because I remember us saying, it's like, they're not going to be that bad. They're terrible. One of the worst teams in football. So Jets fucking suck. Then AFC North, the Steelers probably going to end up just being 500, right above 500, might win the North. Baltimore 7-7. The big loss a couple weeks ago against the Steelers kind of knocked them back. The Bengals, they're eliminated 4-10. They missed Joe Burrow most of the season. Cleveland Browns have been a clusterfuck. Maybe a couple of little bright spots with you know, Fannin, their tight end, and Shador has done some stuff. And of course the sack record is up for grabs there. Probably going to be broken this weekend in Cleveland. AFC South, you got Jacksonville 10-4 leading the way. Indianapolis, they started off really strong. Played some bad football, lost Daniel Jones, brought in 44-year-old, he's my age. They brought in a quarterback my age, Sex Panther, Philip Rivers. I mean, I don't have as many kids as Philip Rivers, thankfully, but they brought in him, see if they can salvage the season. But Jacksonville leading the way right there, Houston hanging tough, Tennessee, rookie quarterback, shitty season, arguably the worst team in football right this season. In the AFC West, you got the Denver Broncos just beating the fuck out of teams, and they're looking like a favorite to win it all, maybe. Like, unbelievable. Another guy we like. We like Bo Nix as well. Funny enough.
Yep, absolutely.
Another guy that we liked, you know, leading the way in Denver. Los Angeles, still pretty good, 10-4. The Chiefs, for the first time in a decade, eliminated from the playoffs. And then, even worse, Patrick Mahomes, torn ACL going into next season. The Las Vegas Raiders, they got to figure out what they're doing. I've heard rumors that they might be trying to go all in to get Joe Burrow in a trade and bring him to Las Vegas. That'll be interesting offseason for them, but they're just terrible. I'll pause there. Let's just talk about the AFC, and then I'll go to the NFC. Any thoughts? Anything that you know you feel in the AFC? Any favorites? Teams that you're disappointed with? Yeah, just general thoughts on the AFC.
Yeah, absolutely. There's teams I'm disappointed with. If everything, I mean, granted, there's 3 weeks left, but if everything finished now, no Ravens, no Bengals, no Chiefs. I'm not sure what the odds are, if you could bet, that those three don't make the playoffs, but it probably would have been astronomical. Obviously, the Bengals were hung out to dry when Joe Burrow got injured, but the Ravens have been dog shit all year. The Chiefs, their inadequacies over the last couple of years have just caught up to them, and they just need to do a reset. It's not a Mahomes problem, but Kelsey's gotten older. Andy Reid forgot how to run the ball. The defense has gotten older. Like they've just got a lot of holes they need to fix. And I think they'll do that in the draft and in free agency. But yeah, I think those three teams really stand out. Are we, you know, AFC Championship? I don't think we're, I'm not saying this is what we end up with, but I'm not mad if we end up with New England versus Denver. Are you?
No. No, I'm not. I think it'd be a fantastic matchup. I would, you know, love to see that. Honestly, I think it'd be great. By the way, while we were chatting, the Seattle Seahawks after halftime scored a touchdown. They are now leading the Rams 14-13, but the Rams are in the red zone because that's what the Rams do. Right now, Matt Stafford has 231 passing yards to Sam Darnold 79, but Kenneth Walker is shredding that Rams defense right now. So. Keep an eye on that as we continue on. Yeah, listen, I think in the AFC, Denver is to me the best team, but you know, New England, fantastic. Buffalo, they're going to be Buffalo. And then, yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in the others. I mean, the Chargers, I think are going to kind of be ho-hum. I think they're just okay. Jacksonville playing good football, but I don't love them. Travis Etienne having a great comeback season. That running game, pretty good. This is taking some pressure off of the passing game. I think they just gave Jacoby Myers an extension there in Jacksonville.
Big extension.
Yeah, that was a good trade for them. He's turned out well there. AFC, I think you're right. I think it is New England and Denver right there. So let's head over to the NFC right now. Let's talk about the NFC East. Philadelphia Eagles, 9-5. Haven't clinched the division yet. Because, you know, they haven't been playing their best football, but they more than likely will. Dallas is not very good, 6-7-1. Washington, they regressed. They're 4-10. The Giants had some fun this year with Scadabo until he fucking snapped his leg fucking Joe Theismann style. So, and then they've had some injuries at quarterback. But Jackson Dart seems like he could be maybe part of the future there. If Dart and Scadabo, you put some other players. Abdul Carter looks good for the Giants, but... They're lost 8 in a row. Dreadful. The NFC North, Chicago Bears leading the way at 10-4. Mea culpa. Ben Johnson, you are a god amongst men. What you've done with Caleb Williams in that offense. Whew, that's something, man. But not too far behind. You got the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions, both kind of like still in it. Lions had a big loss to the Rams last week, kind of knocked them back. That was a tough one for them. Green Bay, you know, they're hanging in there. Minnesota, down season. The aforementioned Sam Darnold is now in Seattle having a good season. And Rams just scored, is now 16-14. So Rams have just scored in that game. It was a field goal. So there you go. They got a fat ass. You ever see the fucking Rams field goal kicker? He's so fucking fat. He's a no, pro. I think they call him the thicker kicker. I want to say he's like 5'10", 275.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's a big fucking dude. Like he looks like he's a fucking linebacker.
I hope he can kick at 70 yards.
He hasn't missed a kick since knock on wood. I've got a wood desk so I can knock on it. All right. NFC South. Kind of still up for grabs. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 7-7. Like disappointing. I thought the Bucs were gonna be better. I'm rooting for Baker to kind of turn things around. Carolina Panthers hanging tough. They're also 7-7. They could win that division. Falcons, they're out. They lost Penix. Penix got injured. They put Kirk Cousins in. They're out. New Orleans at 4-10. Not terrible, though. Their quarterback situation, I know they were trying to tank, trying to get fucking Manning in there next year, but I don't know, man. Quarterback hasn't been too terrible in New Orleans this year. And then the NFC West is, I mean, other than the Cardinals, who are absolutely fucking dog shit, just really fucking terrible. Jacoby Brissett ended up being their quarterback after some period of time. Rams, 11-3. Seattle, 11-3. San Francisco, 10-4. Jesus Christ. Don't make it easy on my Rams, do you? Listen, biggest surprise, Chicago Bears in my mind, I think. Disappointing, most disappointing, I would probably say the Commanders' regression, really fucking terrible. The Eagles aren't out of it, but they just don't look as special as they had over the last few years. So I'm happily surprised with my Rams. I'm shocked at Seattle. And the fucking 49ers have put C-Mac is having a fucking hell of a year, man. They've put shit together. So thoughts on the NFC?
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out for me with the 49ers is they did a vast majority of that work without Brock Purdy. He missed a ton of time. Due to injury. You know, you talk about Ben Johnson, the Chicago Bears. I don't want to take anything away from their success, but there was a good portion of their schedule that was Arizona, Cincinnati, you know, the shit team, the Raiders. Like they beat up on a bunch of nobodies. And what really got my attention was when they beat the Eagles. I'm like, well, maybe time to maybe pay attention to them. But for me, the biggest disappointment has to be the Detroit Lions. If the playoffs started right now, they're out. And that brings me to the question of the day, the question of the year. Is it time for the NFL to reevaluate how they do the playoffs? Because as you had mentioned, Tampa Bay or Carolina is going to get in. And someone like Detroit or San Francisco or is going to get left out. And worst case, Tonight's game, the winner of that game is going to be the current one seed. The loser of that game is going to now be the 5 seed and have to play wild card weekend. They'll get a home. No, they'll probably even be on the road.
They'll be on the road. Yeah.
So is it time for the NFL to reevaluate how they do the buys and how they, you know, winning a division, should that be an automatic playoff berth? And you're like, 8-9 because your division sucks. What do you think, Max?
I tend to agree with you. I don't think just winning a division should be an automatic playoff berth at this point in time. I think it's a division title. You win your division. You get a division title.
That's 6 of your 17 games. That's all.
That's it. That's it. Like, you win your division title. Hooray. Happy for you. If you're not as good as other teams in your conference, I don't think you should make the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for just, like, saying, hey, who are the teams that are getting the most wins? And rank them. You know, from then whoever doesn't make the cut makes the cut. If you're a 9-win team, it's too bad. Listen, this is my fantasy football. Like, let me pull up my fantasy football league this year, Six Panther. I just to tell you the records of the teams. And now, I only have a 10 team league, right? So I don't have 12. So only 4 teams make the playoffs in my league, Panther.
Oh wow. Right?
Yeah. So first place 10-5. I was in second place at 9-6. Okay? Third place 8-7. Fourth place 8-7. Fifth place 8-7. Sixth place, 8-7. Two teams with the same record, the 8-7, didn't make the playoffs. You want to know why? They didn't put enough points.
Points.
Simple as that.
Not enough points.
Them's the fucking rules. I'm sorry. That's the rules. Should be the same thing in the NFL here. Is you get the wins, you don't. I don't care if you're above 500. I don't care if you win your division. The team with the more wins should get in. Simple as that. Done. Fixed. Done.
Yeah.
You know, and you see it, and you seed it, and you seed it that way. You seed it by who has the most wins. So if the Rams, you know, end up with the third amount of wins, then they should have a home playoff game to start things off, not go on the fucking road, you know.
Yeah, because the Eagles, with whatever they end up, 10-7, are gonna be a division winner and they're gonna get a home game.
Which, if I was saying to my wife, because I was saying, hey, you know, really important game for the Rams tonight. She's like, oh, is it like playoff implications? I was like, kind of. I mean, the Rams have already clinched a playoff spot. But you rewind last year, they should have beat the Eagles. You know what beat the Rams last year, other than Saquon Barkley going for like 3,000 yards in a single fucking game, was they played in Philadelphia during a snowstorm. Mm-hmm. That game's in Los Angeles. The Rams beat the Eagles. Rams might go to the Super Bowl last year if they have a home game. It matters. It does matter. Same thing. Now, what if Philadelphia has a home game in, you know, January? Like, with a less record than a team that, you know, I agree. They should redo it. All right. You want to just look at the games this weekend? Because we also got games Saturday as well, by the way. Right? There's a couple games.
Yeah, Bears Saturday, Packers, big game. Yeah. Yep.
All right, first game is Eagles Commanders. Eagles at home -7. I'm tempted to take the action because the Commanders just suck so much. I'll lean the Eagles -7. It's a little too chalky for me, them on the road. I don't trust this Eagles offense. The Commanders are pretty dreadful. So yeah, I'll lean the Eagles -7.
Yeah, I think I'd be looking at a money line situation here, but the Commanders have nothing to play for. They're jockeying for a different kind of position, draft slot and what have you. Eagles, this is a get-right game for them. They should be able to take care of business, but I'm with you. It's hard to trust them right now. On a money line situation, I'd probably take the Eagles. -7, I'm pretty lukewarm on that.
Bears, Packers, as you mentioned, big divisional game there. It's a coin flip. Yeah, +1.5, -1.5. Either side, like you can, you know, like I think it's the Bears. I think the Bears at home on a Saturday night beat the fucking Packers. I mean, I'll take the point and a half, but I think the Bears outright win this one.
It will be chilly. It won't be like, you know, negative degree cold, but it'll still be, you know, low 20s cold. Green Bay's used to that. I don't know, you know, how much experience Caleb, California kid, playing in the cold. I tell you, I still don't like him, but he's proven me wrong. He doesn't turn the ball over. They still have a lethargic offensive line, to be kind. Their defense is still so-so, but the running game has been fantastic. The wide receivers have been stellar, and he doesn't turn the ball over, which is a lot of what you ask out of your quarterback. I still think I trust Green Bay, kind of been there, done that. Kudos to Ben Johnson. They've learned how to win close games. Remember what we talked about over the last 2 years, last year and the year before with Justin Fields. They lost, like, what, 8 games by a touchdown or less? They're winning those games now, and that's all due to Ben Johnson changing the atmosphere and the culture in that locker room. I would probably bet the under, whatever the total is. I think this is a true black and blue division game. I couldn't bet a side. I'll lean Green Bay.
Rams just scored a touchdown. 1 yard TD from Blake Corum. Now up 23-14 on Seattle with about 6:30 left in the third quarter. So that is your score update there. Moving on to the next game. A couple games that are just inconsequential. We'll just hit them real quick. Chiefs on the road at Tennessee. Chiefs favored by 3. This opened up at 7, but once Patrick Mahomes got injured, it dropped to 3. I still think the Chiefs win. They got Gardner Minshew in there. Titans are trying to tank and trying to lose, trying to get a good draft pick. So I'll lean the Chiefs.
I'm not sure if the Titans have to try that hard. They're pretty bad.
There's no try, only do.
There's just only do. You know, you said it's debatable that the worst team in the league, and I'm like, eh. Is it really debatable?
It's not much of a debate, yeah.
Well, then I start thinking, oh, the Raiders do suck.
Giants,
we'll see what happens there. Yeah, the Chiefs, you know, I don't know what they'll do because it's in their best interest to lose, right? But to increase your draft stock and move up the draft board. This will be the first time in 10 years that they haven't drafted, you know, at the bottom third of the league in the first round. So Chiefs probably don't even have to try that hard. They'll still win, but I don't want nothing to do with this game.
Another game I want nothing to do about. The Giants at home, +3 against the Vikings. The Giants are really, really bad. But I don't like this Vikings team. That said, JJ had glimpses. Like last week, the Vikings didn't look dog shittish. I hate the line. I'll lean the Vikings on the road. The Giants just not very good.
Giants aren't very good, but Jackson Dart is back. So if I'm the Giants, I'm probably not really trying to tank. I still want to use these as preseason games with Jackson Dart going out there and, you know, try and figure out what we need to address in the offseason, in the draft. You probably got your guy in Scadaboo. I think they've got their guy in Jackson Dart. But Minnesota, I feel like they're a team without an identity. I'm still not on the McCarthy bandwagon here. I mean, it's just a no play. It's like a 1AA game. I wouldn't watch it. I'd probably go find something else to do, last minute Christmas shopping or something. But I'll lean the Giants, maybe just because I like Jackson Dart more than McCarthy.
I drafted Cam Scadaboo in the 12th round, so if he's my keeper, not too shabby. Deal. He's stashed away on my injured reserve right now. My actual keeper has been kind of a dud. I fucking ended up keeping Saquon. He wasn't very good. What I should have done is I ended up drafting Puka Nacua anyway, but I could have kept Puka Nacua with giving up a 7th round pick. So I should have just fucking kept Puka at a 7th and then had my... Anyway. Scadabo's looking like my keeper of the 12th round. I drafted fucking Matt Stafford in the 15th round. Fucking MVP.
Nobody ever talks about quarterbacks. Like, quarterbacks just get dismissed, but man, to get Stafford in the 15th, that's a steal.
Let's see. Just real quick. Travis Hunter, that was a bust for me. That was a 6th round pick. He's a piece of shit. Chuba Hubbard has kind of been disappointing. David Montgomery's been okay. I dropped Ricky Pearsall. I dropped Evan Ingram. Travis Etienne, I got him in the 9th round. He's been surprising. Tyler Warren has had a pretty good year. I get the Ravens defense. They were dog shit. Jordan Love had Jake Bates. I dropped him. Taj Brooks. Like, most of my team, I still have, like, so I got Matt Stafford, I got Puka Nacua, DJ Moore, Saquon Barkley, Travis Etienne, Montgomery, the Texans defense. So I ended up picking some good ones up, but I think Scadaboo is going to be the guy. Anyway, let's get back to this. Next game up is a big one, divisional round game. Buccaneers on the road at the Panthers. Bucs favored by 3.5 in some sports books. They got to get it done. This Panthers team hasn't been as dreadful as many people thought. I still don't know if they've got the quarterback of the future. He's shown glimpses. Baker gets it done this week. I'm gonna bet the Buccaneers -3. I think they win and cover this one.
I just don't know what to think about Tampa Bay. They absolutely shit the bed last week in a game they were up by 2 scores late in the fourth. They could have been. I mean, one game in that division in this situation is a huge one game. They absolutely let that one go. We'll see if they can, you know, erase it from their memory and not carry it over here. Carolina is, I mean, I don't want to say they're on borrowed time, but they have nothing to lose, right? There were no expectations. And here they are going into week, whatever week this is, 16. And they're in a hunt for the playoffs. They don't have to play with any expectations, where the Buccaneers, we all picked, that was our darling. Baker Mayfield, the Bucs, they got those all those wide receivers. Like, how are they this mediocre? I'm with you. I still don't trust them. I'll probably money line it. But, yeah, I will bet the Buccaneers.
All right, another game that's inconsequential. The Jets on the road in New Orleans. The Jets getting six, anywhere between 5.5 to 6.5 points. Saints at home. Yeah, best you're going to get is -5.5. I think the Saints win this one probably by a touchdown. I can't bet it, but I like how the Saints have been playing over the last few weeks. How do you pronounce the last name? It's not Show. What's the
Shaw?
Tyler Show?
Shaw? I think it's Show. Yeah.
Show? Yeah. Maybe it is Show. Yeah. He's been putting on a clinic lately. I don't think he's that terrible. I'll lean the Saints.
He has the best record of all the rookie quarterbacks this year.
That's insane.
Yeah, right? All you have to do is win three games. You got the best record. That tells you how bad the Jets are. Because I don't think the Saints are good. And you're 5.5 point, 6 point dogs to the Saints. Yikes. The Saints have to be the play, but no way am I betting this game.
Chargers, Cowboys. Interesting. You could get the Chargers +2.5, or you can get the Cowboys at home +1.5. I'll take the Chargers +2.5. I think they go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys. I'm not afraid of this Cowboys team. I don't trust this Chargers team either, but I think LA gets it done.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot in our 8 years of doing this show together, and that's just to admit when I'm wrong. And I'm with you. I completely agree. But Vegas is telling you, take the fucking Cowboys. Vegas is begging you to take the Chargers. And it just stinks to high heaven why they're the underdog. As much as it pains me, I got to be on the Cowboys here.
Bills, important game for them, taking on the Browns. I don't think the Browns have it in it to win. They're at home getting 10.5 points. That's a lot of chalk. I can't do it. Bills should win this one. I don't know if they cover it. Bills win. I think I'll lean the Browns at home with 10.5. It's just too much.
I'm not going to say the Bills aren't good, but they're not consistent. I'm not afraid of this Buffalo team. And what really irks me is that they gift-wrapped their little darling Josh a MVP last year, and now apparently he's in the running with Matt Stafford. He better not win it. It better be Stafford. In any case, 10.5, this team, 10.5, no. And much to my chagrin, Shador's been playing pretty good ball. He's been putting up some numbers. He's throwing the ball. I mean, he's going to make his mistakes. He's only had a handful of starts, but the Browns have nothing to lose. Let the kid throw. I think I like Cleveland plus the points here.
Yeah. Matt Stafford currently favored -500 to win the MVP. After that, it's Drake May +600, Josh Allen +800, Caleb Williams +1,000, Bo Nix +1,000. It's also a lifetime achievement award for fucking Matt Stafford. He is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen. You got to remember how great he was on terrible Lions teams and persevered and just. I'm so happy for the guy. I really am. I'm so happy he found success later in life because it worked out for the Lions kind of sort of as well. They got a lot of talent in that trade. So anyway, Bengals -4 on the road in Miami. It looks like Tua is going to get benched. I'll do something else in there. In Miami.
Yeah, he's been benched.
Bengals just kind of no-showed last week. Doesn't matter. Joe Burrow sad, but they still win. They still cover. I'll take the Bengals here -4.
Their defense still sucks. They're not playing for anything. I don't think I've ever in Joe Burrow's NFL career remember him getting shut out. the Bengals getting shut out, and the Ravens aren't even good. Their defense isn't even good. That really floored me. I feel like the Bengals have quit. Their season's over. It's in their best interest to not win. Quinn Ewers, who's going to start for Miami. I mean, there's every reason in the world for this kid to go out and try hard. Puts Miami in a quandary. What to do about Tua? Daniel's future is probably in jeopardy as well. This is an untouchable game. Both teams should probably be trying really hard to lose.
I agree. All right. Next one up. Jeez, this is a shitty slate. Falcons and Cardinals. Falcons on the road -3. Listen, Jacoby Brissett has not been playing terrible football, but the Cardinals just haven't been that good. That said, I think they get it this week. I think the Cardinals should be able to win this one, but they're at home getting 3 points anyway, so I'll lean Arizona.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Kirk Cousins is the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons?
Kirk Cousins is the quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not correcting you. You are not wrong.
In Cousins, I trust. Like, he's the reason they beat the Buccaneers. He's the reason they came back from two scores down. Kirk Cousins is not washed up. I mean, maybe he's even earning the job. Maybe they bring him back next year. I don't know. But Penix really isn't the guy. I like the Falcons. I don't like the Cardinals at all.
It's talk about bad timing, right? Daniel Jones couldn't get fucking injured before the trade deadline and bring Kirk Cousins.
Bring Kirk Cousins in. Yeah. That.
Did you hear the reason, though, that Philip Rivers came out of retirement?
They called him? I don't know. No.
So after you retire, the NFL will pay for your health care for 5 years. And it was going to expire next month. So now, by him playing, the clock resets.
So well, you know what else? You know what else resets? His Hall of Fame clock.
His Hall of Fame clock does reset as well. Listen, Matt Stafford just passed him in, I think, passing yards or passing touchdowns, one of the two. So he can try to catch back up. He can play. He can jockey with Matt Stafford. He's like, oh no, you don't. You take my records away.
So. You know, when you got 9 kids at home, that insurance really comes in handy.
That was
know?
It. Well, yeah, there's the insurance, and it's like, I got to get away from these 9 kids.
Isn't he just like coaching high school football or something?
He was. He was coaching high school football. Yeah. I think for one of his kids, too, probably. I don't know. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Jacksonville and Broncos, a matchup of the week, maybe. Broncos at home -3. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take the Broncos, but I can't bet this one. Jacksonville having a hell of a season.
You know, Jacksonville having a hell of a season, but I just, when the warm teams go to cold environments, they just seem to struggle. Jacksonville, you know, Florida team going to Denver. It's going to be cold this weekend. I think great for Jacksonville because, you know, we were ready to fire the coach. We're ready to, you know, jettison Trevor Lawrence out of there. And Dien had question marks. Like, there was a lot of question marks about Jacksonville, and they probably reset the clock on those question marks. There's no question marks in Denver. We like coach. We like the quarterback. We like the team. I'm probably betting Denver here.
End of the third quarter, the Rams just hit a big play. Matt Stafford to Puka Nacua. Stop me if you heard that one before. Puka up to 132 yards in the game so far. Matt Stafford throwing 302. They are now first and goal at the Seattle 4. They can score a touchdown here, man. Go up 30-14 going into the fourth. Oof. It's going to be a tough one for Seattle to come back from, especially with that Rams defense playing as it is right now. So we'll keep an eye on that. Next game up, we got the Steelers and the Lions. Pretty significant game for both teams, really. Seattle trying to hold on to their division. Pittsburgh, the Steelers, trying to hold on to their division. But they find themselves on the road +6.5 or 7. Lions favored big in this one. I like the Lions. I like them to win. I think that they do it. I think they can cover the 6, 6.5, 7. I think they can. I don't like betting it, but got to bet something. I'll bet the Lions here. I think they come out swinging.
Yeah, I'm going to bet the Lions here, too. I think what they really want to do is try and turn this into an offensive shootout. And Pittsburgh just doesn't – they're not going to win in an offensive shootout. They win games 24-20, 17-10. They keep them close. They're in a shitty division. Everybody in that division sucks. Pittsburgh's benefited from Lamar's injury, Cleveland's inadequacies, Joe Burrow's injuries. I don't think Pittsburgh's that good. Somehow, you know, they're going to magically be above 500 again. But I think Detroit absolutely has to win this game. I think they win it by 3 scores.
You off tomorrow? I'm just asking, you doing this run? It seems kind of early for you to be doing the run.
Well, I did this run because it was 55 degrees here. We're getting a bunch of rain, and then we're supposed to drop to 17 degrees, and I wanted no part of that. So, yeah, I'm going to be I've got some errands and stuff I need to do. Finally going to replace my cell phone, Max.
Don't change the number. Don't change the number, though.
No, the number's not getting changed. But, I got to do a DOT physical. I got to go change my phone number. I got to get some last-minute Christmas shopping done. But as far as work goes, yes, I'm off.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, technically not. Technically, this is your Friday.
I'm working Friday right now.
This is technically Friday right now. A couple more games left. Raiders, Texans. Texans at home, favored by 14, 14.5.
What?
I don't see it. I don't think their offense can do it. I'll lean the Raiders with 14.5. As shitty as the Raiders are, I don't trust that Texans offense. I'll lean the Raiders.
Yeah, I think you're better off just taking an over bet and bet like $1,000 on the Texans on the money line. But 14.5, even the hook is ugh. But did you know the Houston Texans have like the best defense in the NFL this year?
I do. They're my fantasy team football defense.
Yeah, they've been great, and the Raiders offense is absolute shit. It makes you wonder what they're gonna do. You know, the Pete Carroll thing, we questioned it when they did it. The Geno Smith thing is already probably done. You can't draft Arch Manning because, well, he's not in the draft. I've not heard this Joe Burrow rumor, but that kind of gets my pecker hard. Yeah. I don't see it happening. Burrow, Cincinnati is not letting Burrow go anywhere. But as far as this game, yeah, I'm not. I'll move the line. I'll money line it and put it in a parlay, but I'm not touching the Raiders, and I'm not touching 14.5.
I mean, I heard something absurd, like Vegas would be willing to 5 first rounders. Like it was an absurd amount. I don't know. You'd listen if someone said 5 first rounders. You'd have to listen. I don't know if you say yes, but you'd still have to listen. Last game up. 49ers and two more games left. My bad. Patriots and Ravens. Skip that one. That's a good matchup too. Ravens at home, favored by 3. I'll take the Pats. I think the Pats win. All right, I'll take the Pats on the money line. Pats are gonna win.
That's a must win for both teams. I mean, the Pats are already in the playoffs, but you know they'd love to get that home field advantage, the bye week, the number one seed. The Ravens are in an absolute must win. They are out of the playoffs as it sits right now. So, I don't like the way Lamar Jackson's playing. I definitely am on New England here.
1 yard touchdown throw from Matt Stafford to Puka Nacua. Rams up 29-14 with the extra point here. It'll be 30-14 with 13-34. And there's the extra point right there. That fat fuck kicked another one. So 13-34 left in the fourth. Rams take it to Seattle. Seattle's going to have to – it's not over. It's definitely not over. They're going to have to make up some ground with not a lot of time to play. So we'll see. Now the last game, 49ers and the Colts, 44-year-old. I went to high school. I literally could have went to high school with Phillip Rivers. Colts at home getting 6 points against this Niners team that, as we talked about earlier,
up and down season with their quarterback situation, but great backup, you know, situation there, you know, New England Patriots quarterback filled in really, really well there for the 49ers, but they're doing well right now. I still like this Colts team. They got a good running game at home Monday night, +6. I'll lean the Colts.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Phillip Rivers didn't lose that game last week. Phillip Rivers actually did a great job. The Colts defense kind of failed, and you know, for having no notice, you know, okay. The other reason they brought Rivers in is he knows the offense, right? There was really no learning curve for him. He knew the offense. So I think, you know, getting the rust off and everything, they'll be competitive. I like the Niners to win. I think I like the Colts. Let's bump it up to 7.5, and I might take the Colts plus the points.
All right. Looking at my fantasy matchup right now, Puka Nacua currently has 23.3 fantasy points. Matt Stafford has 29.72. So not too shabby. Not too bad of a start. And keep going. The only problem with this Rams team is sometimes they get up so far ahead that by the fourth quarter that no one's playing. You know? So like, it was last week against the Lions, it was actually a competitive game. So that was good. That's it. Wow, we went through every single NFL game. We talked for an hour. So hopefully everyone enjoyed it. We'll try to do it again sometime. But yeah, Merry Christmas. Maybe Happy New Year. We'll see you around in the Discord. This is your Christmas present. You're getting nothing else. That's it. No more presents. Sex Panther, let's see if you can do this. Take us home.
Well, you know, we try our best to do what the degenerates want. You asked for it. We gave it to you. I'm honestly saddened that there was nobody here, no ex-Chris, no Homer, no nobody to banter with. But it was great to catch up. Good talking to you, Max. And let's see if I can pull this off. All right. You guys know the deal. We hang out in the Discord. Come in and shoot the shit with us. Call us out by name, but whatever you do. Fuck, I don't know how to do it. Make some money, fools!
This show is sports entertainment. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. In short, don't be stupid. Gamble responsibly. We will not be held responsible. Peace.